mai vanosweripiko kumusasa kwanyandoro kwira kusautarire onekwa zvakarima kune nzungu namanyimo mai vako chiramwiwa vanoswera kwanyandoro kumusasa kwemakudo kwira kusautarire onekwa zvakarima
You remember the old quotation about two men looking out through the same bars, one sees mud and one the stars? I'm reminded of this because recently we've had so many books on African subjects that it's clear that the impression Africa leaves with writers, or the impression which they wish to leave with their readers, depends very largely upon their point of view. The Mau Mau Rebellion has given a lot of people a fine excuse for writing about African violence, and those who see nothing but African mud are always with us. We've had a few, of course, about African stars in the last few years, and the in-betweens who prophesy a dismal future for all and sundry in Africa who don't take their good advice in time are ten a penny. One of the reasons for this recent flood of ill-digested literature is, I think, mainly because most of the books are written with an outsider's point of view. With little intimate knowledge of the people of this continent, even if the author lives in Africa, and what's more important, with little sympathy for Africans, for their obvious limitations, and their day-to-day difficulties of life in this none too gentle continent. Books about mud sell, and so do those about pseudo-magic and witchcraft or politics, and as yet we've not had any African writers of real merit at all who've been able to produce works of literature in a universal language. It's little use writing in Zulu or Wemba or Ganda, or even Swahili if you want the great big world outside to take an interest in African peoples, whose lives are not all mud and not all stars, but, like most others, a little of each, with an awful lot of plain human stuff in the middle. Even in West Africa, which has the reputation of being more advanced from a Western point of view than the rest of the continent, there have been practically no indigenous writers who've made any real impact upon the outside world. Recently, one young lad, Amos Tutuola from Lagos in Nigeria, has written two extraordinary books in a kind of broken English which is spoken in those parts, both of which have been bestsellers. He's written a third book, which is already in the press, Simbi and the Satyr of the Dark Jungle, and he told me about them a few weeks ago when I was up in Lagos. You may have heard of his first two, The Palm Wine Drinkard and My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. Neither of them is easy reading for foreigners because they're so full of African imagery, African dreams and African slants on life. He's a quiet young man, this Amos Tutuola, whose education ended somewhere about Standard 6. He's a messenger in the Labour Department there, and I looked him up at his work. I found him to be exactly like the usual run of good original African artists or composers, a man with a spark of real imagination, a close touch with his own people as human beings, and a flair for telling stories. One of his best episodes was about a person he called the Complete Gentleman. This individual was a sprite who went to market, collecting himself on the way, borrowing an arm here and a leg there, his body from one person and his feet from another. Then, once he arrived at the market, he dazzled all and sundry by his sheer perfection of form and figure. So, rather naturally, a beautiful young girl fell deeply in love with him on the spot and followed him home. As they went along the path, he gave back to those from whom he had borrowed them his arms and legs, his body and shoulders, until, by the evening, when they'd arrived at his hut, she was left with, what do you think, an empty skull in her hands. Her search for the perfect gentleman seems to have been about as fruitless as the eternal search for the perfect lady. African composers of song seem to be equally disillusioned, and song after song which we've recorded in the past few years has revealed not only the constant quest for the dusky and blessed damoiselle, but the more prosaic affairs of husband and wife, their fun and their troubles, their partings and their returnings home again, their mother-in-law problems, and their erring children, in fact, family life from mud to stars.